Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here, because without you, this show would be kind of boring. Of course, today's Wednesday, so we're going to answer your listener questions, including a great question from listener Jessica in Washington, D.C., about cheering on her friend down for the Wine and Dine Half Marathon. That's next month, guys. I can't believe it. We're in Run Disney season. I love it. So stand by for our answer to that and more. First, a word from our sponsors. That includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days2Go, WDW. Days2Go lets you count on the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, I'm glancing down at my new iPhone XS Max. And this thing looks great. Days2Go looks awesome on this screen, but it's a little scary. 98 days to go. That's right. Double-digit dance, guys. So if you're not pounding the pavement, you're going to be down there for marathon weekend, you better get those sneakers out. I get excited and a little nervous every time I look down at my phone to post a message to social media, get a text or a phone call. It's just awesome. So you can do the same. Grab Days2Go WDW right now over at virtualmickey.com. Thanks again to everybody who continues to support the Be Our Guest podcast with our Amazon affiliate link. Every purchase counts, and it really does help support the show. Anytime you shop on Amazon, please just click through BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1389 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the great agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. So glad you're here. Can you believe it? It's October. I can't believe it, man. Halloween's this month, Thanksgiving's next month, and we'll be closing out 2018 here shortly, and then it'll be marathon weekend. Oh my gosh, I gotta stop, because as I said in the ad read at the top of the show, we're in double digits now for marathon weekend. So if you're running, probably about the time to lace up the sneakers. Get ready, because it's gonna be, and especially if you're running Wine and Dine, you're gonna be tapering soon. So good for you. That's gonna be sweet. So anyway, let's get to answering your listener questions. That's why you're here. That's why we're here. And the whole team is back. They even let one of them back in the country. So we have Ricky. She's from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and the Mouse for Less, formerly of the Disney Magic. What's up, Ricky? How's it going?
I'm enjoying the weather outside here in Atlanta much better than the weather in Canada. It was a little chilly for Ricky. No, it wasn't so bad, but I'm enjoying the 80-degree temperatures again, so that's nice.
So we're going to talk about your cruise on Friday's show, so stand by for that. Come back on Friday to hear about, you know, it's a very different type cruise. You know, we've always, at least I have, always cruised to the Bahamas or to the Caribbean, you know, where it's tropical palm trees. That's my idea of a cruise.
Yep.
You went north out of New York City to Canada, to Halifax, to Quebec City, and places like that, so... Just real quick, like a sentence or two. I mean, was it kind of strange, like not being hot and not spending time on deck in the pools and stuff like that?
It was definitely strange not having a traditional not vacation, but what you think of as vacation. I think a lot of people think of the warm tropical temperatures and activities and stuff like that. So it was definitely different for sure. I won't say whether that's good or bad. You're going to have to find out on the podcast on Friday. So, but yeah, it was definitely different, and we'll leave it at that for now.
All righty. Okay. Can't wait for Friday. So stand by for that. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, who's heading on another adventure here shortly. She's heading west, way, way west. What's going on, Pam Forrester? Happy Wednesday.
West. Way, way west. I get to see both Disneyland and Aulani too. So during the week of, the couple weeks between October 15th through the 29th or so, I don't know what it is, but anyways, whatever that 2 week period of time is, I will be staying at all three Disneyland hotels.
Wow.
As well as Aulani. Awesome. Go out to Aulani. So really looking forward to that. We'll definitely be doing some shots of the rooms so that people can see that. That is actually something that we always get requests from people. They want, like, what is the room yes. actually like? And I try to do a video often that talks about the things that I look at when I'm in the room. I don't know if right. other people necessarily look the same, but you know I'm going to mention the toiletries, and Aulani has its own kind of toiletries.
They do have their own toiletries. I have them in my cabinet. So,
yes. Anyways, yeah, we're talking about toiletries, storage, and the organization of the rooms. Those yes. are three things that are very important to me.
Comfort of the bed, also very
absolutely,
important.
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely. So anyways, you'll get an opportunity to see that. I'll absolutely try to do some walkthroughs of Aulani to show people that, because it's just gorgeous.
It is.
And do that, and we'll do some fun stuff in Disneyland too, so look for that while we're there. And I'm in full-on panic mode. I mean, yes. I have a bit before I need to go, but the list of things I'm gonna try to get done before I leave is stacking up, so that's how
been
it goes
there.
Right.
Yep.
Can I give you one pro tip for the videos?
I'd love
okay
one.
So here it is. Now that you have the iPhone XS Max like me, you need to make these videos in Memoji form. So you need to have a big head in your body of like an animal, like a robot or a unicorn or something. I mean, I've inundated everybody I know with these videos, so I'm just telling you, it'd be a big hit.
Pam,
I know
we're don't late be to the a game, 12 year old girl, okay? There you go.
I will take that under advisement, my friend.
Hannah
Thank
knows.
You for the suggestion.
Okay, Hannah knows. That's, I'm just saying. All right, let's get to the questions. That's why you're here, and I'll inundate. Let me know. I'll inundate you with some memojis and animojis.
I heard
and
it looks
all
really
emojis.
Profesh.
Oh, yeah. It does. It's sweet. It's scary. It's kind of like the scary clowns that were around a couple years ago. It's almost scary as that. It's just not right. Anyway, Jessica's got the first question of the day. It says, "Please help me be the best Wine and Dine Half cheerleader." Hey, BOGP crew, I look forward to your podcast every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and it keeps me company as I work. You guys are the best, and I'm hoping you can help me out with a question regarding cheering on some runners during the Wine and Dine Half Marathon in November. While I participated in many Run Disney events over the years, I finished my first Dopey last year, and I'll be back for more in January. Yes, see you there, Jessica. We're crazy. I've never run the Wine and Dine Half. Sadly, I'm not doing it this year either, but I'll be going down to cheer on a good friend who's running this race. The halves I've done before have all been the Epcot to Magic Kingdom and back course, and I'm at a loss as to how best to support and cheer on these runners, especially my friend. Do you have any advice to the best locations to cheer for this race? I'd love to be in a couple different spots, but I don't know if this is logistically possible with the course. I don't think my friend submitted a chip time, so I'll assume she's going to start at closer to 6 or 6:30 a.m. I'm so excited to have the chance to cheer on the runners at this race, and I love any advice you guys would have for the best plan of action. Thank you so much for making me smile 3 days a week. Jessica, she's in Washington, D.C., which if you didn't know, it's our nation's capital, but you probably do. And I gotta send a shout-out to Jessica for this email. Every time she put the word cheer, she capitalized the letters E-A-R. Yeah, she went the extra mile in this one. So if I was still teaching, Jessica, you would absolutely get a gold sticker on this email just for that effort. So if the chat room has any advice on this one, throw it in. We'll get that up there. I've only run this new course, the morning course, one time, the first year that they moved it from a night race to a day race. And I believe it was the one that kind of went past the... I remember running past the trash facility, the waste facility. So what I would suggest is, in these races, I'll tell you, they've kind of gone away from the concept of having, runner cheer folks on the course,
which is
super disappointing as a runner. I'll say that.
Absolutely.
Super disappointing, because my favorite parts, and I know, like, even Marathon Sunday and Half Marathon Saturday for Dopey, honestly, you get to run through the castle. You get to run through some pretty cool stuff. My favorite parts of the course are the TTC, which isn't real exciting except for the fact that you have people around you. People cheering with great signs get you pumped. Animal Kingdom parking lot really stinks except for you get to see all the great folks that are out there cheering with awesome signs. So the people matter to me when I'm running. I love that more than really anything else. I would just say look at the map and just see where they're allowing folks. You might just want to pick one spot, because it's really hard to get around in these races. Ricky, I know you do a lot of cheering, but is it better to go for one good spot and not stress, or do you try to hit multiple places? And if so, how's that go?
Well, since I don't know the course right now, and I don't know where it's going to be running past, I would say probably stick to one place. I would not suggest doing it by the end of the race. It's just because everybody in the brother is going to try to be at the end. And as a runner, you know, that's a great place, you know, for you to see me. It's also, I would rather you be on the course somewhere else because I will need that boost somewhere else on the course. So I would say find a place where you can actually see that they will be allowing people, like you said, and then stand there if you can, you know, somewhere in the middle section of the race. And I think that would be the most successful for cheering, especially for your runner, because they are going to need it at that point.
Pam, do you have anything to add? Because again, I don't cheer a lot of the races because I tend to run most of them, but you've done a lot of them and it's really helped. So what strategies have you learned for somebody? She's a runner, so she's really kind of, it's weird because it's a new experience with the cheering. So what do you offer her?
It is. I mean, you know, for those who are cheering, it kind of is, I agree with what Ricky said. You don't really want to necessarily only be at the end. You know, it would be nice to be able to see whoever you're cheering on at different parts in the course. And, you know, we used to always try to look for places where it was going to be challenging for the runners, or we could offer a little something. And Disney has made that a lot more difficult than they have in the past. There's really, you know, only so many spots that you can cheer. But I think it's, you know, it's a cool thing. And for those who are going to watch, try coming up with a sign too. I mean, lots of people love that. Lots of people will stop and get their picture taken with your sign. You get a lot of engagement when you have a sign or something cool like that. We always try to do a funny one or two. And so it's fun, though. It's a good thing. It's a good time to be out there. It's nice to be encouraging as a runner. I hope that y'all get to see a lot of people there. But just know that there's going to be big stretches where Disney is making that more challenging. But they do often supplement with like some character greetings and stuff like that, too. So still lots of magical miles, as they say.
I can't remember if that one goes through the boardwalk in Beach Club area. But if it does, I had a horrible race the last time I ran this course. And I was really sick and I barely finished. I walked it in. So I don't even really remember the course that much. I was just lucky to get to the finish line. Thank goodness some of my friends walked with me. It was thanks to Phil and everybody that brought me in. But if it goes by Beach and Yacht Club and Boardwalk, that's my favorite place to kind of stand around. Just go to the resort. And you know, that's a great place where you can get up close and personal with the runners. And the signs are great. Mom's panelists always have great signs. They have Steve Harvey ones every year, which I love. I always get my picture with those. You guys had awesome ones. You need better friends. I like that one too. So real quick, let's get to some questions here in the chat. Megan's asking, can I grab Magical Express to leave from a different hotel than the one I'm staying at? She's 23 days out for her till her trip. Pam, what about that? Can you grab Magical Express from a different hotel?
Unfortunately, you cannot. Disney makes you go back to the hotel you're actually staying at to pick up Magical Express. There's a few reasons for that, and a lot of them have to do with the luggage and everything like that. But no, you can't do it. You have to pick it up at the resort that you're staying at. And they're actually much more particular, I think, about letting you back on the bus to get to the airport than they are even about letting you on the bus to get to your resort from the airport. They, most of the time, I mean, they want to see that piece of paper, so make sure it shows up at your resort. Usually get it the night before you're going to check out. The morning before you're going to check out. So make sure you have that. But yeah, you do have to go back.
Yeah. And the first time, like when I first started flying, you know, and I was new to all the Magical Express stuff, cause I always had a car, like we cut it too close, you know, to make the Magical Express back to Orlando International. And we came up as our bus was departing we saw the Magical Express bus and we knew that was probably ours. We saw it leaving the hotel. That was the biggest nightmare after that, trying to get on another one, because once you miss it, these other ones can actually be full and they cannot find you a spot. So they're going to have to like get us a cab or something like that to get us to the hotel or to get us to the airport. So it was a big nightmare. So I'm just saying, you know, just be careful with that return to Orlando International on Magical Express. Get there with enough time and you do have to have that paper. So, you know, I always thought it was very just kind of casually hop a bus, no big deal. Kind of like going to a theme park. It's not like that. They're pretty particular. All right, let's get to a question from Jessica. She says, suggestions on doing the Fantasmic dessert in VIP seating. Worth the price in order to avoid the difficulty of getting a good seat? Assume it is the same seating as the VIP dining package purchasers. Ricky, what would you say as far as going, you know, with the Fantasmic dessert party and the VIP seating for Fantasmic? I mean, it is kind of a hassle to get in, but is it worth the extra cost? Is it worth the perks?
I mean, I think if it's worth it to you, it's worth it. I Fantasmic is not my favorite, so it's really hard for me to say go all in for it. But if that's something that you really want to make sure that you see, now I think you can get seats, you know, without purchasing the dessert party package or the dinner package. There's too many packages that start with D. I think that you can usually get seating unless it's like a really busy time of year. But again, that's just me. So if you really want to have the desserts to have while you're watching the show, then I say go ahead for it. But personally, I wouldn't. But then again, I don't really like Fantasmic either. So.
I mean, I would look at it as you're going to get, you know, if you really want the desserts, you're going to get the best seating. And, you know, yeah. You're going to get, it's basically, you know, it's just a plus experience. You're going to have a kind of a premium experience. You're going to enjoy it a lot more, I would say, because of, you know, when you have desserts, everything's better. And you're going to have the best seating. You're not going to have to fight the crowds as much. But, I mean, of course, you know, it's just where do you want to put your money? Is that an experience you want to have here rather than something else? So
right.
I would just go with your heart there. All right. William's got a great question here. Kind of topical. What is the best place for a late lunch before the Christmas party? We used to do Kona, but we heard it isn't the greatest anymore and are currently doing Morimoto Asia. Any other ideas? Pam, where would you go before the Christmas party for a nice late lunch to kind of hold you through the party? Because after that, you can just have all the goodies.
That's true. I love having a later lunch sort of in the Magic Kingdom area. So a few places that I'd consider is The Wave, first of all. We've had some great dining there and just, you know, find it's has some good options. So look at the menus over at the Mouse for Less, because I think that's first. That's like step one, you know, mm-hmm. Make sure there's something there that you want. Another choice is over at the Grand Floridian. You can do 1900 Park Fair if you're looking for a character meal, although you'll have to do dinner for that one. Or you can go ahead and try the Grand Floridian Cafe, which is something that's, you know, it's sort of like in the Kona vein. And so one table service credit if you're using the Disney Dining Plan. But it just has some really interesting options. I think it's sort of a great choice, and you can often get advanced dining reservations there when there aren't any available anyplace else. And so then you're just a monorail ride away from that great party, and you'll have a great time.
Yep, the Grand Floridian Cafe is getting lots of love in the chat, so that's a good option. Because you're right in the area there. Boom, your next stop, boom, you're there, and you got a full belly.
That's right. Good tip. That's right.
All right, Michelle's got a question here. She says, doing our first split stay at the end of October, Coronado Springs Standard View and Yacht Club Guarded View, are the standard rooms at Coronado scattered throughout the resort? Is there a section that would be more convenient to transportation? My son is in the Disney College program now, so we chase the cast member discounts. Wish you guys could book those for us, but unfortunately we have to call Disney directly. Michelle. All right, I get that. I mean, if your kid's down there, you know what? You've invested a ton of money in your kid. You may as well eke out a couple bucks here and there when they're on the college program. That's why I keep pushing Paige. You know, hey, Paige, go down there and work a little bit so I can come see you and justify it. You know, I got to go see Paige. She's working. She won't do it. She's too serious. Anyway, Pam, they are scattered throughout the resort, the Standard View rooms. What would you say? You stay there many, many times. If you're looking for transportation, what area might Michelle be looking for over at Coronado?
So the beautiful part, I think, about most Disney resorts that are sort of spread out like Coronado is there isn't just one bus stop. There are bus stops in each section of the resort. So keep that in mind. What I like to look at when I'm looking for something like this is, especially at Coronado, there are really three sort of distinct themes at that resort. Now, the resorts, the rooms are all the same on the inside, but each of the themes on the exterior is just a little bit different. So take a look at those photos and see if it's something sort of appeals to you. And then if so, again, this is the second time I'm doing it, but I'm directing folks over to the Mouse for Less to look at the photos of the different resort sections and then the PDF of the maps, because then you can like kind of hone it in. So if you have, but if what you're really looking for is to be near transportation, then I would put that in your room request or note that on your reservation and just say, I would like to be close to transportation if you don't really care. And then that's the first thing that the Disney cast members will look at. And hopefully you'll get what you're looking for in that space. But I love all three of the distinct areas at Coronado, don't you?
I do. Mike? I do. But let me ask you this. I'm just curious because my tastes have kind of changed over the years. So there's three areas. And like you said, they're kind of distinctly different just in their architecture and the feel. So you got the ranchos, you have the cabanas, and you have the casitas. I will say my new favorite, and again, it changes at Walt Disney World. Everything changes. I think we're all guilty of this. Like, I love this, but then you stay somewhere else and you're like, oh, I love, you know that. That's how I am with my last resort. I'm like, oh man, it's my favorite overall resort. Then I stay somewhere else. Then I come home. That's my new one. You've heard that over the last 10 years. So my favorite right now, casitas. I like the casitas the best. And I used to be a cabanas guy, and I've actually been ranchos at one point, but I'm team casitas now. Pam, if you had to pick one, you're going to the electric chair tomorrow and you got to stay in one hotel room.
Wow. What a morbid world.
It's almost Halloween. It's almost Halloween.
Why are all these questions so morbid when you ask them? Like,
I don't know. Last day, where are you going to stay out of the three?
So I used to be a cabanas girl. As well, because I like that sort of tropical theme,
I
thought that was, and they had the hammocks that were there by the water, and it just felt very tropical. But I will say there is something about the Rancho section that is very appealing to me. It feels super themed, I love the dry riverbeds, and it's very aesthetically pleasing as you walk through there. I like to see, I like the colors there that they paint the buildings. I like it. And I don't care where I am in the resort, but I do kind of like that theme. It feels very themed.
I feel like I'm at Ricky's old house in New Mexico, even though I was never there.
Go.
That's exactly. Yeah. So Ricky, have you stayed at Coronado? And even if you have,
that's one of them that I haven't stayed at yet.
It's which one did you pick though?
List, especially since I did live in New Mexico. It's kind of those places where I kind of want to stay just to see how it compares, but I haven't done it yet.
Good old cacti everywhere.
Yes. Even though, there's not that much cacti in Albuquerque, I'll just tell you that right now. or at least not where I lived, so.
Speaking of cacti, let me just say something. Mallory was doing, because I'm homeschooling this year, we're doing some grammar work on Khan Academy, which I love Khan Academy and used it with my students for years. But they said the plural of cacti was cactuses. And I always thought it was cacti. So I think it's wrong. I don't know. I have to look it up. I didn't follow up, but I was like, I'm pretty sure it's cacti.
That's so very weird.
Yeah, help me out here. Anyway, so let's get to the next question before we go into Khan Academy grammar lessons here on the podcast. That's boring. Next question says tickets and passes before 10:14. It's from Michelle. Hey, BOGP team. With all the confusion around the new tiered ticketing, I'm thinking of buying a ticket for possible 2019 trips before 10:16 when the new policy goes into effect. I'm planning on running Wine and Dine, so I know I'll need tickets before then. But if we end up going earlier in the year, also, I'll probably want to buy annual passes instead. I can still upgrade these tickets to an annual pass and pay the difference? They apply the value towards the tickets? Yes, they do. Also, if I buy tickets now, do I have until the end of 2019 to use them? Thanks, Michelle. She's east of Pittsburgh, 30 miles away from Pam.
So there
you
go.
Yeah, she's in the Keystone State, but close to you, within a half hour. All right, so Ricky, I saw that you did some questions on the Mouse for Less. You do your what they call Mouse Bites on, I believe, on Sundays. I think that was yesterday. I was kind of lurking, and you were talking about the tickets. So just instead of hitting Michelle's particulars, what do we know? What do we not know? If you were going to give some advice to Michelle, what would you say as far as the tickets moving forward to October 16th?
What we know is a little. What we don't know is a lot. So that's kind of, and you have to remember, I am coming back from this as coming back from vacation.
That's true.
So,
that's true. I forgot about
that. I'm not 100% sure on everything. However, what I have found out is that we don't know a lot of the specifics yet. We just know kind of the broad parts of it. So we don't know the specifics on how much the pricing is actually going to be per day, that kind of thing. But what's going to happen is that beginning October 16th, the guests are going to be able to access a new online vacation destination planning and purchase tickets priced by the date of the visit. with the when guests are ready to purchase tickets, they'll need to look at an interactive online calendar, which is going to display different prices based on the dates that the guest chooses to visit and states when these tickets will need to be used by during a specific time period. So it looks like that 14-day window that we had is going to also be going away. So it's going to depend on how many days of ticket worth of tickets you're going to buy, how many days you have to use those tickets in. So say, for example, and I'm guessing at this, say you buy a 2-day ticket, you'll have only 5 days to use those 2 days of
tickets. It's ticket plus three, it seems like the formula is. If like I was doing a formulaic thing with my former gifted students.
Got it. Okay, good, good. I'm glad somebody is doing that. So the calendar is also going to let you see the lowest price days within a month. So if you are looking to spend the least amount of money possible, the calendar is going to show you what days are going to be the best days for you to save the most amount of money. And as we move forward, I can guarantee you that I will have more information for you on the Mouse for Less. Like I said, it's just very, it's very up in the air as to like the specifics of everything right now. So we just know kind of a broad basicness. So I know that's, go ahead.
There will be the option to purchase as like an add-on, like you with the Park Hopper or whatnot, a flexible ticket option.
Yes.
So that will be something that you're considering. But all tickets right now, people don't realize this, I think, because a lot of folks think about this and most people book pick tickets with their package, which is there's going to be an advantage to booking your tickets with your package. You'll actually have the whole length of your package to use your tickets, regardless of the number of days admission into the park that you'll be able to use them. So it just makes it easier for people who are purchasing a package. They don't have to worry about that. As long as they're still within the dates of their package, they'll still be able to use their tickets. And then, the other thing is that tickets now do expire. The tickets that were, you know, a ticket that you would buy right now does expire at the end of 2019. Now, when it expires, you do not lose the value, but you will only get what you paid for that ticket toward the purchase of whatever the ticket price is at that point. And that will be the same with these tickets as well, is my understanding. That while the tickets will expire, they could be used to purchase a different ticket. So there's just a lot of things to keep in mind with that. I think what Disney is trying to do is make it a little easier too for folks who do buy packages, that they don't have to worry about all the, you know, figuring out all of this, because it will be figured out for them in the ticket price. So just something to consider.
And I know it can be frustrating for people who are planners, like, you know, like us, because like, it's like, I want to know what it's going to be. And I get it. And unfortunately, we just have to wait until Disney kind of lets us know what the information is going to be. And they're being cagey, of course, right now about it. So, you know, rightfully so, I'm guessing.
So the way I see it is, you know, 10 years ago, you only needed a high school diploma to book a Disney vacation. You know, a couple of years ago, it was a bachelor's. Over the past 3 years, you had to have a master's to figure all this out. Now they're taking us to the doctorate level.
Yes, exactly.
And I don't know what we're going to do in like 5 years.
Help us if we need to go past that at some point.
Like, they just keep adding and adding complexity. But I get it, because, I mean, the thing is, they're chasing what, like, professional sports teams are doing. You know, like, when the Cardinals play you know, it used to be the Pirates, now it's like the Reds. You know, like, you could go for $5. But when we're playing the Cubs on a weekend, then you're playing a premium, because that's the most desired game to go of the season, which it makes sense. I mean, you know, that the world's gone that way and Disney's going that way, but it does add a level of complexity. But again, I think Pam nailed it. We kind of sat down and tried to look at this, because we don't know the details until Disney announces everything officially. But the thing is, with the package, it gives you the most amount of flexibility to get the most advantage, right, Pam? I mean, that's kind of the thing we're looking at right as of today on October 3rd when the show comes out. You know, it looks like packages are going to be the way to go.
Yeah, it does. And here's the thing, too, that Disney is doing. When you book a package, you either get the length of your package stay to use the tickets, or let's say if you would purchase your ticket separately and would have a longer window of something that was past your package stay, or you get that window. You get whichever one is better for you. So you never have to worry about comparing them, because Disney's going to give that to you. And I think where we've gotten away from this, and I don't know I don't think blame this on is the way to go, but so many folks were buying annual passes for like one trip, and it doesn't really make sense to do that anymore. That's sort of old thinking. And you have to sort of approach it in a new way. So think about
and
that.
And I'm going to shamelessly plug. I mean, I'm not a travel agent, but I think that, you know, this is going to be one of those instances when it is going to be handy to have a travel agent in your corner, because they can help you figure out what the best option is for your specific vacation. So
we'll try.
I'm totally plugging the magic for less travel in this
we
one.
We will so. Try.
Hey,
we
hey, Pam, try. Pam, you plug the mouse for less. So I'm going to plug the magic for less travel in this one. So.
Good.
In a new tagline, we pull our hair out so you don't have to.
That's right. Exactly.
Trust me.
There have been many discussions about this. The scenarios that if A, then B, there's an Excel sheet, a formula that's dependent on if this, then that. You know, I mean, so many things. There's a pivot table.
Yes. I did say, you know, like, Disney, you're killing me here. Like, I mean, I've said that a few times over the past week.
Right.
But yeah, it's part of the job. So that's what we do. All right. Next question. Girls Trip. Three generations going to Epcot's International Festival of the Arts. From Maggie. Hello, BNGP family. Well, I feel like your family, in my car at least. We're just like we're like podcast karaoke for you, Maggie. We love it. We just don't sing.
No singing, but that's not true either.
We sing sometimes. She says, I'm taking a trip in January with my mom and my daughter, who's four, for a little girls' getaway to watch a college dance competition that is happening over President's Day weekend. We've gone for this event before, but never just the girls, and never doing Epcot's International Festival of the Arts. Neither my mom nor my daughter like rides. Why are you taking? I'm just kidding.
Oh,
so planning this trip, just kidding. So planning this trip has been completely different than previous ones. My husband and 7-year-old son are thrill ride junkies like me. Here's what we have planned so far. We booked a royal guest room at Port Orleans Riverside. Perfect. Brunch at Cinderella's Royal Table. My daughter loves all the princesses. Check. Morning tea at the Grand Floridian. Oh, yeah. I like that. Pinkies up. We're planning for fast passes for Frozen Ever After and Enchanted Tales with Belle, as those are two that are at the top of our list. And they're taking a water taxi to Disney Springs for some shopping. All right, so far this sounds perfect. So here's our questions. Number one, when staying at Riverside, is a Garden View room or a River View room better? It's January, so I didn't see the advantage of a pool view room. Are there preferred rooms at this resort or areas you would recommend when staying there? Okay, so stop there. I will say, we stay at the Royal Guest Rooms a lot at Riverside. We love these. They're so much fun. And they're in a great spot, too. But, Pam, would you say Riverview Room is kind of the way I look at it is, if you want to stay at the very best room at Riverside, it's a Royal Guest Room Riverview. That's my all-time best. That's the best room you can book, right?
It is. And you know what? There is something about the Riverview. I think being able to look out and see the Sasagula, the mighty Sasagula. I don't know. I mean, I always think of like the mighty Mississippi, but the mighty Sasagula is kind of a cool thing. And you get to walk down by the river. I think when you come in and out of your room, I always love that. I mean, it just makes my trip feel like, hey, it feels a little more romantic. But even if you aren't looking for romance, I just think it feels cool, doesn't it? Just to be able to see the water.
Yes, so. I love Riverview. And plus, when you have a Riverview room, you're always going to be kind of closer to the path, because the path is right there along the river, and it's a quick jump over the bridges to the main area. That's what I see.
Right.
Too.
Good point.
Question two. We have 3 days in the parks and know that one day will be Magic Kingdom and one day will be Epcot, but I'm torn about the third day. Part of me wants to go to Hollywood Studios to see Beauty and the Beast live on stage. You're the one. No, I'm just kidding.
That's right. Yeah.
Just teasing. And for the first time in forever, but having already done a Belle and a Frozen themed attraction with our fast passes, I also feel like we would get more out of going to Epcot again, given they have the festival. My mom is a big foodie, plus they have Disney on Broadway shows. Do we know yet when Minnie's Runaway Railway... Disney, why do you do these names? Now we got to get used to saying that one. That's a mouthful.
Right.
Do we know when Minnie's Runaway Railway is going to open in Hollywood Studios? I can't wait for this new ride. So that would be the one thing swaying me in that direction. But all I've seen is 2019, which in Disney language could mean anything. Since we are watching the dance competition, we aren't able to hop around the parks, given the half our day is spent at Wide World of Sports. All right, Ricky. So Annie, she's exactly right. On 2019 could be December 31st or it could be January 1st. We don't. It's usually towards the end. Any news on it? This is what I'm going to practice before we podcast every Monday and Wednesday. I'll be going, Minnie's Runaway Railway. Minnie's Runaway. That'll be my vocal lesson.
You got Mickey. You forgot Mickey. Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
Yes, that'll be my vocal warm-up. Okay, so any word on when this cool attraction that used to be a Great Movie Ride is going
to
open?
Right, that used to be the beloved Great Movie Ride. Did she? So I missed it. Did she say that they had a date in mind, or it was?
Well, she's looking. She's going obviously in January during Festival of the Arts. So I don't know that she'd catch it.
No, not going to be open in January. I can guarantee you that. So if I had to take a guess, I would suspect that the Runaway Railway will probably be opening by the summer of 2019. And if I had to suspect a date, I would highly suspect somewhere near Memorial Day. But again, you know, they thought Toy Story Land would be open around Memorial Day and it got delayed for about a month. So, you know, if you're a guest who's really looking to make sure that you get to experience the new attraction at Disney's Hollywood Studios in Mickey's and Minnie's Runaway Railway, that is hard to say, by the way. I would suggest probably sometime in the middle of the summer.
That's what I would say too. I would totally do that. And so you might miss that, but
I hate to be the bearer of bad news on that one, but yeah, I think that it's definitely not going to be open in January. So.
And a huge shout out to Craig, you know, breaking news that cacti and cactuses are both correct plurals of cactus, according to the Oxford Dictionary. So
got it.
Awesome. I like that they're both correct.
Problem solved. All right. Your third question is, any tips or recommendations for Epcot's International Festival of the Arts or anything I'm missing as I plan our laid back girls trip? Thanks for all you do. I enjoy listening 3 days a week and the amazing community of people you have brought together. Maggie's in Spokane, Washington, 2,800 miles from Walt Disney World. So she knows she's flying for sure. All right, Pam. So what do you think? Have you been to Festival of the Arts? I haven't.
I have. And it's really great. I mean, first of all, there's some great food that's being put out for this event. It's sort of a mini, you know, of the other festivals that are, there's not quite as many booths, but who knows? They're always adding more booths to all these other festivals. So maybe it'll be like a mini food and wine or flower and garden. So yes, they have these great sort of pieces of art that you can step into and have your photo taken. So make sure you take advantage of that. It's really kind of a fun thing to do. And the other thing that you'll want to do, I think particularly for this one, just because of what I mentioned right there, I know you're probably already thinking about Memory Maker. Get Memory Maker. I think it's one of the best things you can add on to your package or your stay at Walt Disney World. It's just so cool. And when they have special events like this, they often have special magic shots. And for those who don't know, the magic shots are the ones that they're like, walk up here and hold your hands like you're, you know, like you're gonna get something, or look up there and be surprised, or point down there, and then they insert something fun that you get to see afterwards. So the magic shots are typically there, but even if you just had them for the pieces of art where you get to step into the art and have your picture taken, I think it would be worth it. So have fun.
You know what I find, it's kind of what I love about Disney is it's not always the big things that become the popular things. You know, it can be the smaller kind of hidden gems that people enjoy. With this festival, it seems like one of the most popular things was that big paint by number where it was like a community coming together to paint. I mean, did that surprise you? But I love it because what it is, it's the guests making the art, and that's what the festival celebrates. I love that things like that become popular when it was probably kind of an afterthought, I would guess, in a meeting at some point.
I agree. It wasn't meant to be, I don't think, something that was awesome. I think a paint company like typically sponsors it. And every time we've gone, we've painted our little square to do that. I mean, hello, don't you want to be a part of that? Something, you know, so community oriented. So as a community member of Epcot, you know, I want to be a part of that. So that's a cool thing. I think there's so much about like these little festivals. And I know so often we talk about, you know, Epcot has festival after festival after festival, but this is really, this is a cool one. And I want to try to keep it a secret. So don't tell anyone else how cool it is.
No, nobody tell.
Once you get back, just keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself.
So Ricky, you've been to the festival, right? Too, right? No.
I have not. It is on my bucket list of things to do. And maybe 2019 I can make it happen. We'll see. But I really want to get to this festival because, like Pam says, it seems so cool. I mean, the activities that they have, they do seem a little more low-key, but they also are – it's that whole edutainment thing that Epcot is so famous for. I mean, they have some fantastic like workshops and seminars that you can sit in on that are free. I mean, don't tell anybody, they're free, because like otherwise Disney's gonna start charging for them.
Breaking news, they're now $10.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, cake decorating and calligraphy and flower arranging and card making and animation. I mean, there's just a ton of activities that you can learn. And I think that's some of the most fascinating things about this festival is the educational things that you can really sit down and do. I mean, I would be terrible at cake decorating, but I would sure love to sit down and learn how to try to do it. So, you know, those kind of things are really awesome. And then also another thing that really is entertaining to me is they have the Disney on Broadway concert series. And this is where they bring artists that actually perform or currently, well, I guess couldn't currently perform, but at one time performed on Broadway. And they are there to perform classic Disney songs. And I mean, you want to talk about something that blows you away? This concert series, definitely. Just, I've seen videos of it. The performers blow me away every time I see something from it. So I think this festival is a fantastic festival, and I need to get down there for this festival. So maybe I was actually thinking about that today, ironically enough, of I need to figure out a way to get down to Festival of the Arts.
You just got back from cruise, Ricky.
I know. You don't even want to know when I'm thinking about going back down to Walt Disney World, by the way. You don't want to know. Hey, it's in less like a month, so.
I'm just you're preaching to the choir today. All, you know, everybody's listening. It's like, oh, Ricky, yeah, you should have a trip plan. That's why we love each other. That's why everybody loves each other in this podcast family. We encourage each other.
I just got back from a cruise. I got to do something else, Disney. It's like the itch that doesn't stop.
Yeah. I mean, seven things have changed since you've been there. You got to get back and check them out.
Exactly.
That's how it works. All right, next question. Shipping wine from Disney. It's from Claire. Hey, BOGP crew, my mom, sister, and I are planning an upcoming girls trip. These girl trips are kind of taking off, man. Everybody's going on girls trips. They're going to Disney World October 11th through the 15th to enjoy the Food and Wine Festival. Last time we were in Disney, December of 2017, my sister had asked about shipping wine home from Epcot and was told it was not possible. My question is, has this rule changed at all during the Food and Wine Festival? Or are you still unable to ship wine home? Thanks for all you do. Claire's 1,239 miles from Walt Disney World, but she doesn't say where she's from. So I'm going to do a big swoop. I'm going to do like a radius and figure out where you are. Anyway, I don't know. I've never tried to ship wine home. So Pam, what do you think? Any thoughts?
So I actually haven't tried to ship wine home in a while. I think it has a lot to do with the different vendors that are there and what their rules are. And in addition to Epcot's rules, but here's something I will tell you about. There is something, if you go ahead on Amazon, you will find this. It is called a wine diaper, I believe.
Shut up. No, okay, remember, if you're going to buy a wine diaper, remember, it's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. I don't know how much those suckers are, but yeah, use the link.
So a wine diaper is basically a container or a big Ziploc bag that sort of has a padding, an absorbent padding like a diaper, in which you can put a bottle of wine and it offers some protection with the padding. And also on the off chance that it would break, it would absorb it. And then there's like a Ziploc, a major.
Wait, so you can squeeze the wine back out? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Oh, no,
it wouldn't get all over your clothes. So you can pack it in your checked luggage. So it's actually kind of a cool thing. And we have taken them. We actually took them when we went to Europe because we knew we'd bring something back. You're still, you know, I know that you probably don't want to take 20 bottles home in there. The other thing you could do, of course, is I guess buy wine and then ship it back yourself. But I'm not sure. I don't want you to break any state or federal laws in the process. So
I do not know you. Just in case, this is not Mike Rallman on this podcast answering this question.
So, you know, just check into that a little before you leave. But the wine diaper, that way you can go ahead and put that in your checked luggage and it protects the things that are in there with your luggage. So
it protects things. Okay, so we're talking about wine diapers. That means it is time for the last question of the day. And We're getting out of here. So this one is from Natalie. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I'm a relatively new podcast listener, and I love y'all's podcast. My husband and I are going to Walt Disney World in February for the Princess Half Marathon. This is my second half marathon and my husband's first. This will also be his first time visiting the happiest place on Earth, and I was hoping to get some advice. You guys are going to have a great time. The race is 5:30, and on February 24th, my goal is to go to the Magic Kingdom once we're done with the half. Is this an unrealistic expectation? We're trying not to set PRs. We just want to have fun. This is our first vacation, just the two of us, in 5 years. We have three boys that are four and under, and my parents will be watching them, so we can have uninterrupted conversations for longer than 10 minutes. God bless you. You're going to not know what to do. If you have three boys, all four and under, and you're going to just be by yourself, you'll be so bored. I can just say that's going to be crazy. So would it be a good idea to go back to the hotel and nap or just power through and visit the Magic Kingdom? We have 3 days at the parks, and I figured we would visit Animal Kingdom and Hollywood Studios in one day and Epcot the other day. I love planning, but I'm trying to be flexible on race day since I'm not sure how we will feel. I'm afraid if we go back to the hotel to nap, then we'll crash. Then we will crash or for the day, and we've lost a day at the parks. If you have any advice or suggestions on how we should handle race day or just the trip in general, I and my husband, who wishes I wasn't so OCD, would greatly appreciate it. Love listening to y'all. Have a wonderful day, Natalie. Okay, so let me get to the burning question of the day here. You do not, repeat, because I've done both, you do not want to go back to the hotel to shower and nap. You might want to shower, but you do not want to get on that bed. If you do, you're done. One, you're going to get sore quickly, and you are just going to not want to get up after the half marathon for most people. Because I've done both. Now, I have powered through and gone to the Magic Kingdom right after the half on marathon weekend, and you're better off to do that. You're going to get tired in the evening. You're going to kind of hit the wall, and you're just going to be done. But you don't want, if you go back, you lose a ton of time when you take that nap. It's really hard to get up and get going again. So here's the biggest mistake I've ever made after the half marathon, ever. So just warn your husband of this. I went on Space Mountain at about 7 o'clock at night after the half marathon that morning. Okay. And I hadn't trained very much. So let me just tell you, if you haven't been on Space Mountain lately, and if you're getting to be my age, I'm 44 now. Space Mountain used to be a lot smoother, or at least it's gotten a lot jerkier in the last 5 years. Maybe it's my old bones, or maybe it's just the ride gets jerkier with every subsequent ride. By 7 o'clock, I was one, exhausted, so almost fell asleep in the queue because it's very dark and peaceful and I love it. But when
the music.
Yeah, I know it is. I mean, it just puts you to sleep. It kind of lulls you to. Anyway, so that was the Star Tunnel. So
got it. Yeah, there you go.
Everybody knows. But I will say, when I got on that ride, have mercy. I just wanted to get off that thing because every twist, every drop, every turn was like rattling every muscle and bone in my body. It was like some kind of medieval torture device. I never wanted to be off an attraction more than I did Space Mountain the day of my half marathon. It killed me. So just don't do that. But Pam, what would you, I mean, I say power through, but any advice as far as on that race weekend, trying to make the most of it? Because, I mean, they got a weekend, they're away from the kids. How do they have the most fun?
You know, you have to take advantage of every moment like that, especially when you have kids and you're getting an opportunity to be away from them. I think that that's really important. I will say that I think at some point you get to that point where you're either going to take a nap and sleep for a very long time, or you're just going to push on through. And, you know, with a short period of time, I think you do just sort of have to push on through and enjoy that moment. Maybe plan like an opportunity to sit down, have a meal. You're sort of resting that way without falling asleep. You know, besides Space Mountain and a few other rides that will really jerk you around, I think you're going to be safe with most of the attractions. Disney World's not really known for that type of thrilling ride, but yeah, Space Mountain's definitely one. Maybe Rock and Roller Coaster you don't want to do as well, but you know, give yourself an opportunity to, do have some opportunity to sit down, be it a meal or, you know, just taking a slower pace, just make your expectations perhaps a little lower. Don't expect to get 100 things done.
So let me close out this show and this email with one piece of advice. Suck it up, Buttercup. Just get going and have a freaking magical day.
There you go. Yes.
Perfect. That's it. And that's going to do it for today's listener question show. Thank you so much for those great emails. Send those into mike@brguestpodcast.com or join us live on Facebook on our Be Our Guest Podcast Facebook page over at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. We do most of these shows on Monday evenings around 5:30 Central. The fun gets started. And we always appreciate everybody that has joined us today. So thank you so much for that. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition, where you can get the best news to read every morning and evening, anytime on your smartphone. And of course, Ricky just dropped as I'm getting ready to do the ad read for her, where she tells us what's going on. So I'm just going to encourage you. There's lots and lots of things happening in the Disney universe. And you can get these. It's a free app for your iOS device. You can check it all out. So check out these and other great apps over at virtualmickey.com. Also, don't forget to support the show through our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Anytime you do that online shopping, whether it's something you need or not, usually it's things I don't need, but I purchase anyway. I just love, it's like the new Santa. You know, like when I see the Amazon truck coming down the street, I'm like, ooh, white minivan. Oh, yes. So when you do that, just click through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. We'd really appreciate that. Also, give us a follow on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter @BeOurGuestMike and @BeOurGuestPod. And again, drop by the Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here. And we're going to go look for Ricky because we kind of need her for Friday's show because she's talking about her cruise. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike. Wish you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.